You are on 2SER Wednesday Drive with Mick Rad, and we're very excited here at 2SER to support a fantastic event that's on every month. It's called Clipped TV Music Video Premieres, and it's back again next Tuesday night. We're, as we say, very proud to support it. And last month, we might have heard we talked to Donny Benet and his video director, Alexander Orlando Smith. We talked about the creation, and we're very lucky to have another director in today. This is Sinead McDevitt. She's a director, story designer, and critical thinker from Sydney. Hello, Sinead.
Hi there. How are you?
Thanks for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you for inviting me in.
No worries. But before I get into your talents as director and this music video, Clipped itself is such a great concept. It's something that we here at 2SER support because, you know, it brings together arts in video design and sound and music and brings a community together to come and watch it in a cinema together. Mm-hmm. Is this something that sort of you've been involved in before? I know you've only directed one other music video before, but you would have had created films before that you've sit and watch together for the first time with an audience. Is that something that excites you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like working hard on a short piece of film and bringing it to people to share it with them on the big screen. And Clipped is like a mini music festival. It's incredible. We were at the Music Video Awards last year for The Ocean, the last music video I directed with a great team. And it's just so exciting. And we can't wait for next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's such a cool concept as well because these videos have never been seen anywhere else. So it's if you want to see them for the first time ever on a big screen with a bunch of people who created it, it's such a cool concept. So
that's
exciting to talk about. But you've got a track. So next week, I think there's five music videos are going to be premiered. Now, the one you've directed is for a song called by Mike Flannery.
Mick Flannery.
Oh, sorry, Mick.
Yeah.
Oh, Mick,
your
like
name's
me.
Mick.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Mick.
Mick, it is Mick. It's like,
Mick.
Why did I say Mike? Sometimes I get called Mike. I don't know why I wrote
That's
that.
All good.
Actually, you know, sometimes I get called Mike and I'm like, but it's Mick. Anyway, I just did it to someone else.
Michael, Mick.
Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah. So you directed the video for Mick Flannery's song, Wasteland. When I listened to the song, which I hadn't heard before, it's sort of a beautiful, tragic song. I sort of felt like a lot of heartbreak in there. Maybe like I sort of associate it with some sort of massive like event or sort of death that happened. I'm not sure many listeners have actually heard it. I might play a little snippet of it just now, just so people can get an idea of what it sounds like. So we can, when you talk about it, you can explain.
Sure.
It's very, very soft. I'm trying to imagine how I would direct a video for this song like
when
this.
When you're not around, I'm sat out quiet, mind unwired. When you're not around, I'm deep down trying to slow your course.
Beautiful voice. He's an Irish singer. He's I think you mentioned, is up for an award next week at the Irish Arias.
Yeah, the Choice Music Award. Yeah, he's up for Best Album.
Wow.
And Wasteland, the film that we created, is for the first track on that album.
That's fantastic. How did you end up connecting with Mick Flannery and doing this video for him?
Well, Mick had seen The Ocean that we created for Wallace Bird last year, and he sent me a private link to his new upcoming album.
Right.
And said, have a listen, you're a pick, we'd love to work with you. So I had a listen, and it literally was just the first track. I listened to the whole album, obviously, but the first track just made me go, oh, can I curse on?
That's fine, no, it's all done.
the lighter version, feck, that's powerful. And I just found it very, very moving. And you know, when you listen to music, you're not really sure why initially. Yeah. I just knew that I really, really wanted to write a treatment for this.
And it does evoke lots of imagery just listening to it, especially if you just like put in your headphones and like really delve into it. Did he give you sort of open slather about what you could do in the video?
Yeah, very much. Very much so. I absolutely love Mick. He's a man of few words. So when we first met in Dublin over coffee last February, he's like, so what do you think? Like, what do you think it's about? And I went to find some words and I actually got a massive lump in my throat and got quite emotional. Yeah. He said, you know, my girlfriend thinks it's about anxiety or, what do you think? And I just said, I'm not quite sure yet, but it reminded me of when you hear the full song, you'll hear two voices in the song. It's Mick's voice, but it's like a conversation between the conscious self and the unconscious self. So the unconscious self is crying out for attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the conscious self is pushing it away all the time. And I was just, maybe it's because he has a male voice, obviously, but I was reminded of the older generation of males in terms of that outer performative self.
Yeah.
With maybe the inner more vulnerable self hidden away somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like a lot of males I know.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just done a short doc series actually for the ABC on masculinity. It's been absolutely fascinating. But back to this, yeah, I really was reminded of that, and I just felt compelled to write something that would evoke that to and fro.
Yep. I'm really excited to see it. I mean, now having listened to the song and having my own sort of interpretations of it, you've done a whole interpretation and made a video for it. How was the moment when you showed it to him? Like, were you collaborative in making it, or did you sort of create it and go, bang, here you go?
Not really, actually. In contrast to myself and Wallace on the ocean, it was very collaborative. There was a lot of to and fro.
Yeah.
With Mick, it was an equally incredible experience, but he just said, himself and his management, just said, we trust you.
Yeah.
Off you go. I wrote treatment, sent it to him, and they just said, again, Mick just said, powerful.
That was it.
And I was like,
one word.
Great. Done. And then I just said, do you know there's an actor that actually we both thought of the same actor, which is really, really strange.
Oh, wow.
To play the lead role. And it was Steve Wall is his name. He's an incredible actor, just master of micro expressions. And he's got a face that's like cut from stone. He stars in Vikings and upcoming Ridley Scott series, Raised by Wolves, and a bunch of other amazing stuff. So we just, you know, put it out there, sent him the treatment, and he said, I'm in.
That's so good.
So like, we're just very lucky
all
along the way, really.
Well, I mean, first of all, it sounds amazing. And for the first opportunity to see this in public is going to be next Tuesday at the Golden Age Cinema. You seem to be that music videos may be something that you might fall into now. You've done one, which then led to another one, and then you never know. Like, this could lead to a full-on business, like a career.
I mean, potentially. I think I'm totally in love with the short form, format of film. And I think that's actually a really challenging thing to do, is to tell a story in
3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes 60 seconds for commercials.
Sure.
And I absolutely love that challenge. So I'm really happy mastering that craft, whether it's short film, short doc, music video in the near future. But I also have longer form projects on the boil as well.
Fantastic. Now, you said on your website that your belief is that storytelling has the power to speak straight to those unconscious parts of ourselves in need of warming. I love that sort of thing as a mantra. But how do you identify unconscious parts? I mean, that's a challenge, right? Like, you don't know sometimes which parts of you are going to react, or
you know,
or what you're going to react to. What's your process in sort of thinking about creating a story like that?
In creating a story like that, well, I suppose it just, any treatment, whether it's for a short film or a music video or whatever, has to come from the heart. But in everything I do, I kind of, my modus operandi or my goal is to let the audience know you're not alone.
Yep.
We're all in this together. Whether it's, you know, a frozen laugh I want to trigger in you to release it, or a frozen feeling around love, you know, finding love, or which is what kind of we do with the ocean. I want to help melt those bits that are stuck inside us. I think it's the reason why we go to the movies, to be honest, a lot of the time.
Yeah, escape, you know? Seeing something on screen that maybe you want to do or you wish feel. Yeah,
I think it gives us permission to do the things we don't normally do in everyday life. That's to be like laughing at a funeral or, crying in the street at a busker.
And it's also a collaborative thing, because you go to your cinema sometimes or you sometimes watch it with other people and you feel like you're in that moment with a lot of people, which sometimes can make you feel better about that moment or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
How you feel about it, because you're sharing that moment with other people.
Yeah.
I like that about movies.
Yeah, the lights go down. You're in a dark room with a bunch of strangers and you go on this journey together.
Yeah.
I remember one of my lecturers at AFTERS describing that's what the job of a filmmaker is to do, is to, the minute the lights dim down, you know, it's to take the person on that journey. And hopefully there's a catharsis or some kind of alchemy that happens by the end.
That's a good teacher. I think they know what they're doing. Speaking of teaching, it's something that you do as well on the side. I think it's 30 minutes a week. You do volunteer teaching of critical thinking skills and collaborative inquiry to primary school students in Sydney. This is a really interesting thing to do. What got you into that, and what's involved?
Oh, it's like a tiny, tiny portion of my time once a week. And I've wanted to do a little bit of volunteer work for a long, long time. But I suppose the backstory is, years and years ago, around Sydney train stations, there were posters up for calling out for volunteers for primary ethics teachers. And they explained that it's an alternative to the 1-hour scripture in in primary schools around New South Wales. I'm actually quite a spiritual person, but I also felt that, gosh, if I had this class as a child, in addition maybe to something like world religion, it would have been fantastic. And essentially it's... I call it how not to be a dick class. I don't say to the kids, obviously, but it's around helping them make their own minds up on various issues, whether it's, you know, prejudice or cruelty against animals or whatever. And I feel even as a director, a storyteller, critical thinking skills is so important. Like, you're constantly problem solving.
Oh, and as a child in primary school, it's such a key time to develop those sort of skills and think in different ways and think of things from other people's point of view. Because I think as a teenager or, you know, going through school, you don't think about it. You're very selfish. I mean, we all know it. We've been through it. Yeah. But you sometimes have to stop and think, oh, how are they feeling about this situation, and try and think about things from other points of view. That's really interesting that do that. And I think that's fantastic. Very lucky kids to be involved in that sort of thing and sort of have you teaching them. That's great.
Yeah, I also have come up with amazing ideas for scripts. I'm not going to lie. Stuff they say
excellent.
In class.
I'm looking forward to it. this is awesome. I could talk to you for ages. I wanted to just quickly mention about the thing that you do, the TED video films that you did. Can you tell us about that? Because it was a bit of a first.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did it originally happen? I originally got involved with TEDx Sydney here, and they asked me to run the Fast Ideas Initiative, which is here in Sydney, you know, the Sydney Opera House, where members of the audience get up and they pitch their brilliant idea in, I think it's 30 seconds.
Like an elevator pitch sort of thing.
Yeah. And I absolutely love ideas, obviously. So I was like, I'm in. So I helped write their pitches and coach them in pitching on stage in advance, and then... scared the living daylights out of myself the first time I walked onto the stage at the Opera House, but it was great. They were there. But did it anyway, and I realised I absolutely loved it, and did that 2 years in a row. And then TED Talks in the US got in contact and said, we loved what you did. I should say, I've missed a little bit in the story there, sorry. After being involved with Fast Ideas, I then created the an original short film programme for TEDx Sydney, where I worked with lots of filmmaking teams to make short films. That went really well. And then the team in the US said, can you do the same for us? And I was like, sure.
Amazing. So, you've been on a great path, and it sounds like you're only just beginning this, and there's lots more to come. So I'm really excited to meet you and
you
find all about that. Next week, Clipped is on at Golden Age Cinema from 6:20 p.m. You can see not only Mick Flannery's Wasteland, directed by Sinead McDevitt right here, but also Hans the German, who actually talked to late last year. He's got a song called Oxygen that's directed by Mike Worsley. Bad Moon Born from Noxa, director Alan Brady Fino. There Are Voices Out There, directed by Carolyn Stacey, and Yen Strange with Wednesday, directed by Yen Strange themselves. That's all next Tuesday night at the Golden Age from 6:20. Get your tickets from ourgoldenage.com.au. Thank you so much for coming in, Sinead.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me in.